السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون يقيناً مومن کامیاب ہو گئے.
Surely success does come to the believers who are humble in their prayers. Allah the Almighty says in the first verse, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Success is with the believers. And thus has given a certain glad tiding to the believers of success and prosperity. However, which believers are meant here? In the following verses, numerous conditions have been stipulated, and it is said that only those believers will attain success who lead their lives according with these prerequisites. The first of the conditions or qualities that a believer is required to fulfill or demonstrate is فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, who are humble in their prayers. The word khashi' is normally translated as one who displays fervency in his or her prayers to the extent of weeping. However, there are further meanings attached to this word. Unless all meanings of this word are fulfilled, a believer will be unable to develop the true state that is needed. According to the lexicon, the meanings of the word khashi' are to adopt absolute humbleness, to lower oneself entirely, to efface one's ego and self, to accept complete humility, to struggle to humble oneself, to lower one's gaze, and to keep one's voice soft and moderate. Thus, observe how this one word encompasses such a wide depiction of the prayer and worship performed by a true mu'min, that is, a true believer. When one submits before God the Almighty in an effort to attain this standard of worship, when he adopts extreme humility, when he effaces his ego and self to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and when he develops the other traits and attributes that have been mentioned, then where this will lead him to being near to God the Almighty, there, along with fulfilling the rights of God the Almighty, it will also direct his attention to fulfilling the rights of God's creation in accordance with the divine commands. The prayer's one office in this manner will result in his worldly matters also being set right. He will then strive to be a reflection of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam's words, "Envisage yourself to be lesser than everyone else. Perhaps this will gain you entrance in the abode of divine union." Whilst doing so, he will also strive to free himself of the chains of vice on his ego and self, and will thus set his worldly affairs right, or he will be making an effort to do so. Out of modesty, he will keep his gaze lowered not only in a state of prayer, but even in his normal daily life. And thus, in this way, he will be striving to avoid countless vices of this society. By moderating his voice, where this will gain him perception and knowledge relating to worship, there, in his routine daily life, he will be making an effort to be safe from quarrels, fights, and fiery confrontations. Thus, a believer eliminates numerous evils and vices relating to daily life through his or her prayers and worship. Allah the Almighty says, "Prayers performed in this manner and those who develop this state are the ones who are successful and will prosper." In other words, they will attain falah. One translation of the word falah, as in the translation of the verse recited, is those who attain success. However, success here encompasses a very wide meaning. How is this success achieved? The lexicon defines this as the following: to create ease, to be affluent, to be on the end of good fortune, to fulfill a desire, to receive protection, to have everlasting happiness and goodness, and to receive the blessings and bounties of life. Thus, it is clear that in so many ways, a person benefits from being pious and righteous for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty bestows His blessings on such a person in such manifold ways, which is beyond the imagination of man. The first and most important step set by Allah the Almighty for a mu'min, for a true believer, to attain all these blessings is to develop humbleness and humility in prayers. To achieve all of these things, worship has been set as a prerequisite. Even worldly people display humbleness at times. In fact, if we speak of showing humility and developing an emotional state, then there are worldly people who display this in an astonishing manner when even the smallest of the worldly affairs are harmed. They are prepared to accept extreme humiliation and display a state of temporary fervency. At times, one develops compassion seeing the state of another person, or seeing others in an extremely horrific condition, brings about the most heightened sentiments in them. However, all of this is either for the sake of one's personal interest, out of being ostentatious, or due to momentary feelings and passions. None of this is for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. One who seeks to please God the Almighty is far removed from actions performed only outwardly. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has said regarding the emotional state worldly people fall into, or their apparent or momentary humility and fervency, the following. I have seen many such as Setic and other people with my own eyes, who spontaneously shed so many tears upon listening to heartbreaking poetry, or upon seeing an agonizing sight, or upon hearing a heart-rending account. Just as at times, certain clouds release very large raindrops down at night, so rapidly that it does not even allow one to roll up one's bedding to take indoors without it getting drenched. In other words, they shed tears in the same manner that rain starts to fall all of a sudden. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, then says, "However, I have personally borne witness that mostly such people are very cunning and deceitful, and worse than worldly people. I have found some of them to be wicked-natured, dishonest, and immoral in every respect. Seeing their practice of apparent weeping and showing humility, I am so repulsed to ever weep or be overcome with emotion in any gathering." Thus, there are people who suddenly start crying upon observing certain things. However, this is only a momentary emotional state. When one's personal interests are at stake, they do not develop those same feelings. A person will never become as emotionally attached where they have no personal gains. They will never bring about the same state of sentiments. For the sake of a person's own interests, he will even commit injustices and wrongdoings and shows no mercy and compassion, and a similar emotional state is not created. Or he indulges in other vices which displease God the Almighty, or they only offer prayers and worship pretentiously. Hence, how can people who behave in this manner be counted among the category of Qad aflaha al-mu'minun, that success comes to the believers? Hadrat Khalifatul Masih II would say that Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I used to relate an account of an elder, which goes as following. The elder offered prayers at a mosque for many years with the thought that people would praise him. But owing to some past virtue of his, God the Almighty put it in the hearts of people to call him a hypocrite. So his wish was for people to shower praise on him, but instead he was called a hypocrite by them. So eventually one day, he realized that he had wasted so many years of his life worshipping at the mosque, but no one ever called him pious. He felt that had he prayed for the sake of God the Almighty, at least he would have been pleased with him. This thought struck his heart so strongly that he immediately went out into the wilderness and offered prayers in the most heart-rending and humble manner. He wept and he repented. And he pledged to God the Almighty that from then on he was only going to offer prayers for his sake. Following this, when he returned, God the Almighty put it in the hearts of people that this elder was a very pious man, and so why was he being disgraced needlessly? Elders and youngsters all started to praise him. The elder was most grateful to God the Almighty that for only praying one day for his sake, God the Almighty has caused people to start praising him. Now observe how the elder started to realize all this when he began to worship purely for the sake of attaining Allah the Almighty's pleasure. And thus, God the Almighty became pleased with the elder's worship, because the worship was done only for his sake. The elder no longer held a desire for people to praise him and consider him a great saint. Yet despite this, people started to praise him in exactly the manner he had once hoped for. Previously, he was longing for people to praise him, yet he was unsuccessful in making this happen. Now, the opposite occurred and people started to praise him. Secondly, this account also demonstrates that Allah the Almighty honors past virtues performed by a person, and he creates the means for their reformation. Where in this account it says that Allah the Almighty was pleased with a past virtue, it means that he was pleased with one of the elder's past pieties, and thus people calling him a hypocrite was actually the spark that made him realize. And so this was his means for reformation. And this was no coincidence. Rather, as I have said, Allah the Almighty, being pleased with one of the elder's past virtues, created the means which enabled the elder to worship for the pleasure of God the Almighty. Allah the Almighty wanted to reform the elder himself, and so he made him realize by making people call him a hypocrite. God the Almighty did not want people to praise the elder. Otherwise, he would have become firmly self-conceited and thus would have become an even greater sinner. And so Allah the Almighty, based on a past virtue and wanting the elder to reform, created a means to this end, which eventually enabled the elder to be counted amongst those who attained falah, or who are successful. Thus, despite a person committing mistakes and sinning in the present time, past virtues sometimes become a source of saving him from a bad end and enable him to be included amongst the successful. All of this is dependent on the Rahmaniyat, the divine grace. If Allah the Almighty so wills, he can reform a person in the aforementioned manner also. However, Allah the Almighty has given the guarantee of success to those mu'min or believers who strive to avail from his Rahimiyat, divine mercy. The first prerequisite of this is to establish humbleness and to form the required state in one's worship and prayers, purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Explaining this subject, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has compared this condition of a mu'min, of a true believer, to the various physical stages of the human birth. However, I shall only explain the first stage which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has explained, with regards to الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, who are humble in their prayers, which elucidates that any kind of virtuous deed cannot be deemed virtuous, and nor can any kind of worship continue to remain on strong foundations until man strives to attach himself to God Almighty's attribute of mercy, of Rahimiyat. And until he believes that his worship can only firmly attach him to God Almighty through his grace alone. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, the first stage of a mu'min, of a true believer's spiritual development, is the state of humility, weeping, and fervency which a believer can experience in his worship and in the remembrance of God the Almighty. In other words, to fervently weep and cry, to show modesty and humility, and also humbleness of the soul, and to develop a yearning, a passion, an intensity within oneself, and to embrace a state of fear and prostrate the heart before God the Glorious, as it mentions in the verse. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. In other words, successful indeed are the believers who are humble and modest in their prayers and in every form of worship. Not only in their prayers, but in every form of worship. And they remain engaged in the remembrance of their Lord with humility, fervency, and with great intensity, anguish, and passion. Therefore, those who are humble in their prayers reflect the same kind of emotion in their other forms of worship too, just as they adopt in their prayers, which I have mentioned earlier with reference to the lexical meanings of the word khushu. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that they are humble in all of the different forms of worship. And if one is remembering God the Almighty whilst walking, even then, he will remain humble. When one is occupied in the remembrance of God the Almighty, then every action, even if it is related to one's everyday life, he or she will be mindful of God the Almighty's commandments and thus will be humble and fearful. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, those who ponder over the Holy Quran should understand that the state of khushu, or humility in one's prayers, is like the sperm for the development of one's spiritual state. Just like a sperm, it too hides within it all the virtues, attributes, and the complete framework required for the development of a perfect human in terms of spirituality. As I mentioned before, that the spiritual state has been compared to the physical stages of human development, and the example of that is being given here. Just like the sperm enters the womb and develops into a child and then eventually a perfect human with all its different faculties, similarly, khushu, or humility, travels along the stages of spiritual development and spiritually perfects man. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, just like the sperm remains at risk before it has attached to the womb. That is, there is a danger of the sperm being wasted unless it enters into the womb, in which it will grow according to the laws of nature, made by God the Almighty. He states that similar is the case of the spiritual state, whereby the state of khushu, or humility, remains in danger until it attaches itself to the Rahim, or the All-Merciful God. Remember that the favors of God the Almighty that are bestowed without any effort from man is due to the attribute of Rahmaniyat, or graciousness. For instance, the heavens and the earth that have been created for mankind, or mankind itself, has been created all out of the favors of his Rahmaniyat, or graciousness. However, if any blessing is bestowed on account of one's actions, worship, effort, or practices, then that is due to the attribute of Rahimiyat, or Divine Mercy. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that this has always been the Sunnatullah, the practice of God the Almighty. Therefore, when a person adopts humility in prayer and in the remembrance of God Almighty, then he prepares himself for the rewards of Rahimiyat, of mercy. Thus, the only difference between the sperm and the first stage of the spiritual development, which is khushu, or humility, is that the sperm is in the need of the womb, while khushu is in the need of the Rahim, the merciful God the Almighty. Also, just as the sperm can be destroyed before attaching to the womb, so too the first stage of the spiritual development, which is khushu, can be destroyed before it has even formed a relationship with the Rahim, the all-merciful God the Almighty. Therefore, the prayers that are performed pretentiously, they in fact destroy a person even before he or she can form a relationship with the merciful God. The Promised Messiah states that many people who in the early stages begin to weep in their prayers and fall in a trance and raise slogans and express all sorts of hysterical behavior and display all kinds of states of deep affection. However, because they have no relationship with God the Almighty, who is all-merciful or Rahim, therefore, despite doing all of this, they are not able to form a relationship with God the Almighty, who is Rahim or all-merciful, as they ought to. And neither do they experience any kind of special manifestation from God the Almighty, whereby they become attracted towards God. Thus, their weeping and humility is completely untrue, and at times they stumble and land in a state even worse than before. Now, there are many people who, after having taken the bet of the prophets, become apostates. In the time of the Promised Messiah also, there were some. For instance, Dr. Abdul Hakim is mentioned, who in spite of everything, and having attained piety, when he faltered, he left religion altogether. The Promised Messiah states, "It is an interestingly strange analogy that just as the sperm is the first stage of the human development, and unless it is aided from the attraction of the womb, it is nothing. So too the khushu, or the humility, is the first stage of the spiritual development, and until it is aided by the attraction of the all-merciful God, the state of the khushu is worthless. If there is divine help from God Almighty, then a person shall reach Him and form a relationship with Him, and the state of khushu would have succeeded, otherwise it is simply crying outwardly. Some people say that we wept a great deal, and cried so much, yet our prayers were unanswered. However, they need to reflect upon their own conditions, whether they are fulfilling the other prerequisites or not." Promised Messiah states that you will find thousands of people that once upon a time they used to derive great pleasure because of the humility in their prayers and in the remembrance of God. They would weep and fall in a trance, and then all of a sudden they become engulfed in such a curse that they became inclined towards their sensual affairs and lost their earlier state amidst their passion for the worldly desires. This is a state of great fear, whereby many people's state of khushu or humility perishes even before they have formed a relationship with the all-merciful God, and even before the attraction of the Almighty can play any part. Their state has been totally destroyed. Therefore, no one can claim that their worship has attained the highest stages of khushu or humility. As I mentioned before, that khushu entails a whole host of different aspects, which I have explained. When all of these various aspects are practiced with humility and modesty, then God Almighty's mercy rewards it. In this example that the Promised Messiah has given, a person, however, is not aware when the all-merciful God's mercy will embrace him and reward him. Thus, a continuous effort is required. Just as we are unaware when the fertilization will take place and the birth of a child will take place and when he will begin to develop. Sometimes deficiencies are generated in the sperm after entering the womb, and the sperm carries these deficiencies. Hazur says that whoever's phone is ringing, turn your phone off. Your phone should be switched off when entering the mosque. So, sometimes deficiencies are generated in the sperm after entering the womb, and the sperm carries these deficiencies. Similarly, as the promised Messiah stated, even after humility in prayers bears fruit, or he rewards it, sometimes wickedness and self-praise is generated in man. This condition is similar to the condition of those who accept the prophets, rather than rejecting them. This self-praise and arrogance is what detaches them from righteous deeds. Their relationship with Allah the Almighty remains intact until they have a relationship with His Messenger. And when this relationship is abandoned, then they fall into utter disgrace and deceit. Therefore, fear of Allah the Almighty should always be at the forefront. Effort should always be towards attaining His Rahimiyat or mercy. His grace and blessings should be constantly sought. One should strive towards developing a true relationship with Allah the Almighty. One should not become arrogant at one's effort, at acceptance of one or two prayers, or at experiencing a few dreams which have come true. Allah the Almighty did not say anywhere that you'll be considered amongst these successful and prosperous ones if one or two of your prayers are accepted, or if you witness a few true dreams. Those who are successful and who attain nearness to Allah the Almighty, despite reaching the summit of their humbleness and humility, despite abstaining from vain things, despite spending in the way of Allah the Almighty, despite safeguarding their honor, despite fulfilling their pledges, despite fulfilling the due right of their worship, despite fulfilling the due right of their prayers, and despite safeguarding their prayers, despite all of this, they say, O Allah, cover us with your veil of grace, as we are nothing without it. Therefore, it is only the grace of Allah the Almighty that He grants a person the ability to consistently struggle towards attaining His Rahimiyat or mercy, and He grants man's struggles the status of acceptance. This means a struggle to attain His mercy or Rahimiyat should be continuous. Only then can the grace of Allah the Almighty be attained. And man is accepted due to the grace of Allah the Almighty, and his end becomes the very best. Therefore, a true mu'min or believer should always keep this point in mind. That is, no doubt Allah the Almighty has stated that believers have attained prosperity who act upon these things. However, in order to make this success a part of one's life, one should not consider every advancement and every bounty that is received from Allah the Almighty to be a result of one's personal efforts. Rather, after every advancement, one should consider that I have done nothing myself to achieve this. If this quality is developed, then progress will be maintained. Otherwise, after attaining Allah the Almighty's grace, our action will go to waste, and it does go to waste due to a bad deed that we commit, just like that sperm which enters the womb but is unable to fully develop, and after a few weeks it leaves the womb and goes to waste. Therefore, as I have stated, we should focus our attention towards our end, so that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, after attracting His Rahimiyat or mercy, a child who is complete in all aspects is born as a result of our every action. We should be counted amongst those people who, as they advance in worship, also advance in meekness. Their humbleness and humility also increases. If the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose beauty and humility in worship we cannot imagine, said that he will also enter heaven solely by the grace of Allah the Almighty, then how can anyone's action alone take him to heaven? Or how can Allah the Almighty be pleased with him? Despite the fact that Allah the Almighty had granted guarantee to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and he was to reform the entire world, and he came for this reason, and nobody's actions can be equal to the actions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Yet, he used to increase his humbleness and humility in nawafil, or voluntary prayers, so much so that he would not realize that his feet are swollen. Therefore, in order to attain the grace of Allah the Almighty, everyone should keep continuous humility and fear of Allah the Almighty in view. It is important for every mu'min or true believer that there should be a clear difference between the time when prayer starts and when prayer ends. If there was any egoistic thought or arrogance in him before his prayer started, then at the time when the prayer is finished, his heart should be cleansed and pure from these things. All other worship is similar. Every worship should end with the end of arrogance and the adoption of humility and trepidation. In our daily lives, one should treat others well for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, whilst being humble at heart. Therefore, worship should be a means of lowering us, so that the mercy of God the Almighty continuously bears fresh and nutritious fruit for such a person. May we become those who increase the grace of God the Almighty by recognizing our weaknesses on a daily basis. May Allah the Almighty make us those who always do istighfar, seek forgiveness from our sins. If every good deed of ours is a good deed in the sight of Allah the Almighty, then may it become a source of attaining the pleasure of God the Almighty. May every one of us be counted amongst those who are the successful ones, or those who attain falah in the sight of Allah the Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.